And I say, let all ye who have breath praise ye the Lord. Let all who have breath praise ye the Lord. When I say that, everyone should make noise, because right now we are in a time. Last week we had Easter, it was resurrection. So this week is a reason to be joyful, joyous, and excited. You know, I am truly excited every time I come in here, and I'm in awe. Every time I hear the musicians, I was told about what was going to be played today, and I want to thank you all because you guys did a great job, seriously. Thinking out of the box, doing something totally different that you're not used to, amazing. I truly appreciate that. I know it wasn't just for me, but I'm going to tell you that anyway. So once again, I say, what a great joy it is to be in the house of the Lord one more time. As Pastor Jeff said, it's okay. As Pastor Jeff said, this is my second to last sermon for the semester. Semester. Oh, well, you have to take that up with him. Okay. So because of that, I feel good this morning. I feel real good because Easter is my favorite holiday, but because I'm here with all of you. And I hope that all of you are doing just as well as I am. As always, I want to thank you, Pastor Jeff, for giving me this opportunity to stand before you and for challenging me this week and giving me the words of encouragement. He challenged me. We'll talk about that later if you want to know. But he challenged me. I just want you to know. And please believe me when I say that I am very grateful to stand before you this morning and share a word from the Lord. So before we get to the text, I graciously ask that you please bow your head with me for a word of prayer. God of grace and God of justice, God of peace, God of Jesus Christ, God of the ones who are easy to forget, and God to those who are easy to ignore. We are your people, called according to your purpose. As we enter into this preaching moment, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, and do what you want them to do for my brothers and my sisters in this space on today and nothing more. Have your way, Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. As I just mentioned, last week we celebrated Easter. You know, we as Christians here in 2017, we greeted each other with the traditional Easter greeting. He has risen. Our scripture reading today accounts for the events that happened after the death of Jesus. So today I will focus on the verses 24 through 29. And I ask all of you, did you know that God's story is actually our story? We can substitute any people for ourselves or someone that we know. You see, now that we have come to the Easter season and we walk in the most amazing part of the story of God's dealings with his people. That's why the stories we read in the Gospels are really our story. This is the story of the great comeback of the GOAT, the greatest of all time. You see, I put in greatest comeback into Google, my good friend, and a lot of things came up. It was all sports related. Muhammad Ali. They talked about the Super Bowl and everything. Okay. But not one, and I looked at probably 20 of them, not one mentioned the return of Jesus. It is the greatest comeback of all time. And I hope to explain why as I continue on. You see, Jesus paid a visit to his disciples. You see, they were gathered behind this locked door in this house. They were hiding from the Jews. The text clearly states that Thomas was present. You see, Jesus had stopped by one other time, but Thomas was missing. For some unknown reason that wasn't told, Thomas wasn't there. He was absent. He was playing hooky. Thomas was being Thomas. He was doing his thing. Jesus showed those who were there, "Here I am in the flesh, per se. I am not lying down in this grave behind this rock." You see, when Jesus encountered those disciples, he showed those who were there his hands and his side. You see, they were ecstatic when they saw that he was living, that he was alive. So they thought. You see, next, he had given them instructions, and then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. You see, since Thomas wasn't there the first time when they saw him, he did not know what had happened. So the disciples ran and told him the good news. Say, "Hey, guess what happened?" They told him that Jesus had stopped by to see him, and Thomas said, "I don't trust you. I don't believe what you're telling me." He didn't believe their testimony, because he wasn't present to witness this for himself. So guess what Jesus did? He made a return visit 1 week later. You see, during the first visit, Thomas wasn't where he should have been. He wasn't with the disciples. That's why every now and then we need to take a step back and realize we have an assignment and a place to be. Do you realize that God will allow something to happen the first time? He may give you a second time. He does this because he will allow you some time to get things right. That's what he was allowing Thomas to do. As I said, Thomas wasn't where he was supposed to be the first time. So he was giving him a chance to get right, be right, the second time. You see, that's why every now and then you should thank God for mercy. You see, every now and then you should thank God for grace. Because there have been times when you have been out of place, but he showed you compassion. You've been missing in action, but he showed you love. And if we are all honest here, we can admit that we have all been someplace where we should not have been, but he looked beyond our faults and saw our needs. How many people can look back and admit that they were out of place, but God showed them mercy? You went astray, but he showed you grace. You were somewhere where you should not have been, but the Lord showed you mercy and stopped by once again. You see, the first time you missed the blessing, but he returned you may have received that breakthrough. Once again, the first time you missed the blessing, but he returned. You see, that first time you missed that breakthrough, but guess what? He came again the second time, and he showed you grace. He showed you mercy. And I say this because he didn't have to show Thomas any kind of mercy, but he did it anyway. He didn't have to show him grace, but he did it anyway. He didn't have to come back. That's why we should thank him, because he looked past all of our faults and he showed up once again. How many of you can say, I dropped the ball, but he showed me mercy? How many of you can say, I made a mistake, but he showed me grace? I messed up, but he showed me love. He gave me one more chance to get blessed once again. Oh my God. I'm telling you to be real and honest. I'm trying to be real and honest with you. That's why I thank God on this morning. Because when I look back over my life, there were sometimes when I was just like Thomas. I wasn't where I was supposed to be. But God looked beyond my faults and he stopped by to see me once again. I hope there is someone else who can thank God on this day, because you know you were out of pocket, out of place. You were somewhere you shouldn't have been, but the Lord showed you mercy and he kept the blessing. He could have kept the blessing to himself, but he showed up once again so you could get what he had for you. Now let's get back to the text. You see, what was the first thing Jesus says when he appears to the disciples? Does he say, where were you? Or why did you leave me? Nope. Jesus showed up and said, peace be with you. Now I like that. The disciples had locked themselves up inside of a house because some people were after them. But Jesus showed up to calm them down. He showed up to calm their fears, to settle them down. And here, if you think about it, Jesus is coaching his team and giving them the words of encouragement during this great comeback moment. They were concerned with what was on the outside. But they shouldn't have been afraid, because they had Jesus on the inside. I'll say that once again, because you all should have said hallelujah, amen, or whatever right then. They were more concerned with what was on the outside, but they should not have been afraid, because they had Jesus on the inside. Oh my God. Because when he is on the inside, it doesn't matter what's on the outside, because he has you covered. You see, when he's within you, it doesn't matter what's against you. You see, you can get attacked and have peace of mind. You can have problems and still have joy. Troubles may come, but you can still smile. As long as you have him on the inside. How many people can say, I have problems, but I still have my mind? I'm going through something, but I still have joy. I'm being attacked, but I still have my smile. Because God's got my back, because he's on the inside working on the outside. Do you know why some people can't smile on today? It's because they don't have them on the inside. And they are allowing what's on the outside to affect what's on the inside. Jesus said, peace be with you. Basically telling them, you'll have me on the inside, so why are you all worried about what's going on the outside? Thomas witnessed what others had told him. He had a chance to discover what others had claimed. You see, he saw all of these things for himself, because the Lord will back up what others declare. You see, how many of you are willing to confirm and share with others what God did for you? Some of the same things that he did for you. How many of you can say that I shared what he did for me and he can do it for you? Or do you just keep that to yourself? He worked things out for them, and he turned things around. He can turn things around for you. He turned their life around, and he can turn yours around too. He got them out of debt, and he can get you out of debt too. He saved their marriage. He can save yours too. He healed their mind, and he can heal yours too. That's why you should thank people for sharing things with you. The things that they're sharing is their testimony with you. You see, people declared that Jesus was a healer. And maybe he healed your body. So why would you keep that to yourself? You see, they said that he will provide, he will pay your bills. And guess what? Share that with other people. Make them a believer. Again, I ask, how many people can say they have shared what he did and he can do it for you? They shared what he did. And guess what? He can bless you too. I say this because it's no secret what the Lord can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. And I ask either to look at your neighbor or to repeat to yourself, stop doubting and just believe. Because I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Hey, I know that he's Jehovah Jireh. And if he provided for me, he will provide for you. Oh, my God. Jesus came back 1 week later to confirm what the disciples had already told Thomas. That's why you have to testify sometimes about what the Lord has done. You don't know who's around you and what they're going through. Their testimony may be the one thing that sees them through what they're going through. You see, the text is suggesting that you shouldn't doubt, because he'll overcome the odds. Last week I said Easter to me meant the victory over death. Jesus overcame those odds. You see, Thomas didn't believe that his fellow disciples had seen the Lord. He didn't trust what they had told him. So again, 1 week later, Thomas is with the disciples in this house, and that's when the Lord came and stood right between them and said, hey, here I am. Now don't miss it, because every door was locked. Every door was locked, but he still showed up. Every window was shut, but he still showed up. Somehow he got in, and no one knows how. When Thomas saw that, he started to get rid of that doubt. When he saw what happened, he started believing. You see, once he saw, he could not deny what had taken place, because he knew that the doors were locked, but the Lord found a way in anyway. You see, every now and then the Lord will do something awesome, amazing. And every now and then, he will do something just to blow your mind. By doing something that's not supposed to be done. So that you can stop doubting and start trusting in God. I have another question for you. Has God ever blessed you when the odds were against you? Has he done something for you that didn't make any kind of sense at all? Have you ever gotten blessed and it erased any doubt and it made you believe and trust in your God? How many people can say that based on what he's done, I've got trust in the Lord? Based on what I've seen, I believe in God. Family members fighting with each other, but he brought them back together again. You went through a divorce, but now you're doing just fine. Whew. Let me quickly get back to the text and share some of this good news. You see, again, they were locked inside this house, fearing the Jews. The Jews were waiting on the outside of the door. You know, they probably tried to get in. They probably knocked on the door. They probably turned the knob, probably tried to push and pull. And they probably even tried to break the door down, but they couldn't get in. You see, Jesus showed up. Jesus stopped doubting because he knew it couldn't be anyone but God. That's why no one could get in. It had to be God. So I'm here today as a witness to tell you, based on what I know, that I got trust in God. Based on what I've seen, I can't doubt. Based on where I was, I've got to believe. Because I know for myself, it wasn't nobody but God. And if he brought me out of where I was, I have to trust in him now. How many of you will be honest and say that I'm at that same place? You see, Thomas didn't believe what the others had told him. He didn't think that the Lord had showed up. He said, unless I see the nail marks in your hands, he said, nope, I won't believe it. He said, unless I can put my fingers in the marks and put my hand in your side. So Jesus showed up 1 week later to grant him that wish. How many times have you questioned or doubted, and Jesus showed up when you least expected and gave you what you needed to start believing and trusting once again? You see, if you all knew my story, you all would know that I, too, am like Thomas. I'll just keep it real on you with you all today. And if you haven't figured it out yet, some of this sermon is part of my testimony. You see, I'm here to tell you, all of you, that if he showed up and paid Thomas a visit, he will show up for you. All you have to do is stop believing. Stop doubting. Because the Lord will cover you. God will show up and give you what you want. God will give you another chance to get it right. Amen.